You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 21st of October, 2025, a day where the Australian share market hit another record high, second in the past week. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.4%, 9,031 points. Materials leading the gains, BHP in particular, up by 2.2%. Critical minerals or rare earths dominated the headlines following a deal between the US and Australia overnight, but players in the space reacted mixed. Alcoa, for example, up 7.5% by the close of trade. Arafura, steady, while Lynas Rare Earths down 7.6%. That's despite those stocks opening in the black. For more on the day's market action, including her take on the space, along with AI, I spoke with Catherine Allfrey, Portfolio Manager at Wavestone Capital. Catherine, so the ASX reset its intraday high today. What's driving investor sentiment at the moment?
Well, it's FOMO, fear of missing out. So, no, we're at a record high. It's been driven, obviously, in one part by the AI and in another part because people expect the economy, particularly in the United States, to be much stronger in terms of GDP growth for 2026. And clearly, you know, Trump continues to do these deals and be on a bit of a roll. And so, therefore, people are hopeful that 2026 will be a much better economic year. And so investors obviously always look forward, and there's just a real FOMO effect at the moment.
Speaking of FOMO, what about critical minerals and rare earths? We know they're really taking the headlines today. Some of them have surged quite hard in the lead up to the agreement between Australia and the US overnight. There's a company called Dateline Resources, even though it's so small, up 12,000% this year. I think it's only like a multi-million dollar company, right? But other larger rare earth players like Lynas, Arafura are doing well. Can I get you to go through what you think is driving it, your take on the sector? Because what I've noticed after taking a look at a few of the charts today is that, yeah, they've had this big run-up, but it looks like it's coming back down again. And if anything, those three stocks that I mentioned today, they opened higher, but they've all been sold off quite dramatically today.
Yeah, it's obviously retail absolutely loves these stocks. I think you've got to sit back, and it's all about geopolitics. It's all about leading into the meeting between Trump and Xi on the 31st of October. And it is all about the fact that China control 90% of the processing of rare earths, right? And those particular rare earths go into defense industries, really critical industries, and futuristic industries. So it's all about the energy transition. It's all about all the technology that, you know, consumers want over the next few years. And those strategic rare earths, they're quite plentiful, but the problem is to get them out of the ground and process them is a very long process. And China controls that. And China has obviously came out a couple of weeks ago and said to Trump, right, that's it. You know, not only are we not going to allow export of rare earths, we also are not going to allow any processing equipment to be exported out of China, any of our expertise to go out of China. So Xi has worked out Trump's weak spot. And he knows that rare earths is his weak spot. And that's how he can counter the tariffs that Trump keeps, you know, increasing against China. And so it's going to make for a very interesting meeting on the 31st of October.
What about as an investor, though? I mean, you made that comment at the very beginning that it's retail investors love this. Are we starting to get a point where we might be seeing a pullback in these stocks?
Oh, not yet. Today's still obviously euphoria. Yes, intraday they've come off. But we're continuing to see governments support them in, I mean, two ways, really, through the capital investment, because we need, obviously, to mine for these rare earths. We need to process these rare earths. And the only way we can do that, because China keeps suppressing the prices. And you've seen that with, if you've been watching Lynas or Iluka for many, many years, you've seen the issues that they've faced, particularly Lynas being, you know, one of the major competitors against the Chinese. And so they set the price, and they deliberately set it really low so they could dominate the market. And this is where geopolitics come in. This is where governments strategically have to make an investment, which is why overnight we saw Australia and the US write another check to support that industry to get that rare earth industry going. And so, it's going to continue because they're clearly critical.
Okay, let's talk more about China if we can. GDP yesterday, 4.8%, so it's close to that 5% target. Today, BHP said in its output production report that overall macroeconomic signals for commodity demand remains resilient and global growth forecasts are moving higher. This at a time too where there appears to be a rotation from financials into the resources sector. What do you think about this whole story?
Well, I think this week's really important because it's the annual plenum that occurs, where all the Chinese leaders come together and they set refresh the 5-year plan. And that's on the back of obviously Xi over the weekend purging those nine generals. And so it's going to be really interesting to see because we have the plenum this week and then we actually come out with more, communication at the local government level over the next, couple of weeks. And so within that plan, we will see what they want to focus on. And so what we've seen in terms of that 4.8% growth that came out yesterday is a bit of a weakness again in the property sector. But overall exports were actually surprisingly strong, not so much the US, but the rest of the world. So the Chinese economy is still okay, but he's still got consumers living in quite austere times.
Okay, what about gold? Another record, even as some global uncertainties start to unwind, trade negotiations, US rates look like they'll continue to fall. Has that run up too hard?
Look, you never say never. I see the lines on Martin Place around the corner with people buying and selling gold. I mean, this again goes back to geopolitics, it goes back to de-dollarization, it goes back to the whole changes that are happening, which haven't happened for a long period of time, and people are really grappling with that the change that is occurring. And as a result, they go to safe havens. So they can't rely on the US dollar because of the shutdown in the US government, the actual deficits that they keep printing, people move to other things, and that includes gold. And so we've seen gold obviously at a record. And so the question is it a bubble? The question, it's will time will tell, but we've seen this before, in cycles before. And so everything at the moment is at a high.
So if we revert to what you said at the very beginning of this interview, of this chat, and you said what's driving the market at the moment, and today in particular, is this sense of FOMO, right? With that front of mind, what are you telling your clients then at the moment, and where are the opportunities then? If we've already seen a big run-up of things like these rare earths, the gold price, what now?
It's really tough because it's all asset classes, and I am being asked a lot, from people who are sitting on, people have done very, very well. Wealth in this country has absolutely skyrocketed over the since COVID. In the last 5 years, trillions of dollars of wealth has been created in property and equities, gold, etc. So what are we telling them? We at the end of the day are stock pickers, right? So what we will continue to do is invest in quality, growth at a reasonable price companies. We continue to meet with our companies and we continue to invest in those companies that we think over the next 3 to 5 years can generate, good earnings growth for at risk, and they trade at reasonable prices so we can get in them. So we tend to look at companies where there's been like a correction as well, and just to work out whether or not they can, go back on track. And other than that, we continue to back those management teams that are, looking forward. AI, of course, we haven't even touched on, but that's a massive theme in the market at the moment. Is it a bubble, or is it something that will actually, reset? And it seems to be resetting productivity for companies. And every company is talking about how they can use agentic AI. So it's going to be really, an interesting time, as they say, over the next few years.
That's Catherine Allfrey there from Wavestone Capital, and she wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and to click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.